September. Lowell, Loon Bay, New Brunswick.
I don't know if you can hear that or not. I'm not sure if the recorder is going to pick it up. Do you hear that? I mean, there's crickets there, for sure. The occasional loon. The crickets, or the cicadas, they're singing. I think they're singing. I'm not sure why. But I can hear them. And their song, it changes octaves every once in a while. They're singing along in this high pitch, and then after a minute or so, they switch it to this lower pitch, a different note, or chord. High, and then low. Can you hear it? Why do they keep switching it up? Why does the song keep changing, and how come it changes for all of them? All at the same time. Like they're all linked or something. My fire's dying. I'm gonna have to go look around for some more wood. I'm the only person at this campground right now. It's pitch black right now, except for the stars and my campfire. There are a lot of stars, though. The sound around me is just so immense. Like, it's everywhere. Everything. It's not the ocean, but, well, it's hard to describe. In a good way. I'm trying to look it up on my cell phone, and the word the internet is giving me is tremolo. Tremolo. That's such a cool word. Two notes at different pitches that produce an overtone. Give and take. I wish I knew more about how music worked. Tremolo. Okay, I'm gonna go get some wood now. I'll leave the recorder on so that maybe it'll get on this tape. Because it is beautiful. It's not the ocean, but it's beautiful. Tremolo.
Samuel, 42, McAdam, New Brunswick.
I get a lot of groups coming through, 5 or 6 per week, wanting to run the St. Croix. So they give us the keys to their vehicles, we help them put in up here at Vanceboro, and then me and my wife Kaylee, we run their vehicles downstream via this gravel road back to Loon Bay. It takes about 20 minutes to drive there, and it can be a 2-day paddle by canoe. You can do the route in one day, it's just not very relaxing if you do it that way. Most people put in at the Vanceboro train bridge and canoe to Little Falls with a few beers in their coolers, camp on either the American or Canadian side, and then the next morning they finish their run the rest of the way. Quieter this summer than most. And now that it's really winding down, now that we've passed the Labor Day weekend, I mean, there isn't a whole hell of a lot to do here. So you've got some time on your hands is what I'm saying. And because the river traffic is down, well, I'm less busy than I normally am. And even when the river traffic is high, it still gets quiet around here at night, so you kind of notice things when something out of the ordinary happens. My son, he's 12 now. He knows better than to pull any horseshit now, but last year, he was still in that hard-to-control phase of his life, where he kept acting like he was hard to control. We kept sitting around here waiting to see what kind of horseshit he'd get himself into next. Well, last year, last spring, he decided to cross the Vanceboro train bridge, because no one's looking, right? And I mean, if you walked up to it, the Vanceboro train bridge, that's what you'd think, if you were a kid. No one's looking. And so my son, he figured he'd run across the thing, because the tracks are derelict. There's no trains anymore, and the bridge itself, I mean, looks so derelict. Funny thing about that bridge, they'll let high schoolers swim under the thing, and attach their tow ropes so they can surf the rapids. The current's that strong there. But if you try crossing the thing, no, sir. So my son, thinking no one's watching, he starts walking across the thing. They had a helicopter on him before he could touch the other side. Helicopter came out of nowhere. And I've crossed the border to Vanceboro here a bunch of times. And the guards at the border, I don't know if they hire them from away or what, but they always seem to have Texan accents. And they're always wearing sunglasses. Not the friendliest is what I'm saying. Good at their job, but not the friendliest. My son almost got arrested. They did take him into custody, my 11-year-old. We had to get the RCMPs to negotiate him free. I don't even know how they managed to do it. And the Americans, they were pissed. Right off. Ever since the 9/11 stuff, you don't walk across the Vanceboro Bridge. Not as a kid, not as no one. I mean, my son settled down since. We got him a cat. One of those leopard-looking ones. He's taken right to it. Calls the thing Morris. So what's my point, right? See, it's quiet around here now. It's quiet out here normally. But right now, it's even quieter because of the lack of traffic on the river. And maybe that's why I've noticed. Started last week in the middle of the night. All of these sirens started going off in the middle of the night out by the bridge. And I mean, we can see the thing from our house. The Americans, they had their sirens going and the helicopters out with the spotlight. And I could see the agents and I could hear the dogs. Monday of last week. Around 2 or 3 in the morning. Dead of night, right? Well, let me tell you this. There's been 2 nights since where the exact same damn thing has happened. The sirens, the helicopter, the searchlights, the men, the dogs. Something has got those border agents all riled up. Riled up to the point where they're all hands on deck in the middle of the night. I asked Sergeant Harris about it. Sergeant Harris is the resident, what would you call him? Commanding officer of the local RCMP detachment. I told him about it. How I seen the Border Patrol out there doing this stuff 3 times so far, dead of night. He told me they're probably just on the lookout for smugglers. And let me tell you this. People have been smuggling shit across the river since the 1800s. Since forever. And even after 9/11, I never seen the border guard this riled up. Not ever. And I told that to Sergeant Harris as well. And he just shrugged it off. And that's bullshit too. The RCMP are a great many things, but uninformed ain't one of them. He shrugged off what I was saying because he knew something about it. Because the RCMP here have many a time worked with those guys at the Border Patrol, and if the Border Patrol is riled, the RCMP knows something about it at least. Queer. We picked up a family yesterday. Something had shaken them. Halfway along their run, when they camped overnight at Little Falls, on the American side. And they were Canadians and shouldn't have been camping on the American side, so they couldn't approach any authority about it. Now, the parents weren't interested in telling me anything about it, but you could just tell something had happened. And the only reason I came to know anything at all about it was because their little girl, she was about 10, she said something that made me kind of wonder. We saw eyes in the dark. That's what she said. And she could have been talking about anything, but she said it to me. Like she was reporting it. Like I was the RCMP and not just a part-time vehicle caddy. So very damn queer. What's getting everyone so riled up, do you suppose?
Stacy, 21, Fredericton, New Brunswick.
Hi. Hello. Hello. I'm Stacy. And this guy, LOL. LOL is the bomb motherfuckers. He's the fucking, absolutely the fucking bomb. Just bump and throw it. Just bump. And throw that shit, Kay. That's my new catchphrase. Just bump and throw that shit. Hey, you know what? LOL is so cool. Lowell is a cool motherfucking playa. He's a playa, bitches. I'm too drunk for this. What are we even doing this for? I meant, hello. I'm Stacy. I'm Lowell's buddy's roommate, JP. But JP's at work right now. He doesn't get off until 3 a.m. There's this other guy, the security guard, who went missing on his shift. Just up and vanished. They even brought in the cops to try and figure out where he went. But yeah. So they had to fill in the shifts. But nobody knows where this guy went or what the fuck is up with him disappearing. And so JP has to cover all these extra shifts and, but Lowell is staying at my place for the night here in Fredericton until he can find himself a real job. No, wait. I meant he's traveling. He's traveling. He's only staying with me until he decides to take the fuck off. Take up and out of F-Town. YOLO. Bump and throw that shit. No, but seriously, I can't blame you. Not one little bit. Go. Leave New Brunswick. There's no money here. Seriously, there's no fucking money here. There is no money here. But you just gotta bump and throw that shit. You just gotta bump and... But seriously, get the fuck out of here. Because there's no money. There's literally no money. Go. Go, go. You gotta just... Go, man. My brother's working in a camp in Alberta, Fort McMurray. The camp's outside of Fort McMurray. Like, out in the tundra somewhere. But he has an apartment in Fort McMurray, where he can save money and go to the gym and do all the cocaine he wants. That's where you should be. That is the place, man. Fort Mac. Yo. Low. I have a boyfriend. I just want you to know that. Because I have a boyfriend. And his name is... Fuck. What's his name again? Sarah? 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 Come in here. I want you to tell me what my boyfriend's name is again. Come on. Please? Sarah! Sarah! Bitch. The J stands for Jacob or Jeremy or Jason. Jack? I don't know what the P stands for. Putin? Parachute? Oh, don't worry. Just don't worry about it. JP will be back. He's filling in for that guy who went missing right now, but he will be back. I like your hair. It smells like a tree. Doesn't it seem like so fucking weird to you? You know how this town is? Like everyone in this town knows everyone in this town. And this town isn't even supposed to be a town. It's supposed to be a city. Can you pass me the Jägermeister? When a place is small like this, but it's got like these big aspirations... Like how this place wants to be a city, even though it's so small, it might as well be a town. So everyone is always up in everybody's grill. Seriously, that's F-Town for you. It's worse than a Real Housewives episode. And there's so many bitches. So many bitches. And they're always up in your grill, you copy? Like Sarah. You bitch! Sarah, you're such a bitch. But you just gotta bump and throw that shit. Bump and throw that shit to the wind. YOLO. You might be cute. You might have a really good soul. I might be able to tell. But are you drunk right now? That's the important question. If my boyfriend comes back and sees you recording me, he might get pissed. He gets jealous. Once he beat up a guy because he was just talking to me. Downtown. We were waiting to get a slice of pizza, and this nice guy came up and just started talking to me. And my boyfriend and his buddies ripped off their shirts and kicked the living shit out of him. And he didn't do anything to deserve that. He was just talking to me about his real estate job. He was innocent. I'm innocent too. If I kiss you, do you promise not to tell? Like anyone? I won't tell. I won't even tell that bitch Sarah. And she's like, seriously, my best friend since birth. You smell like pine cones. Or baby wombats. You smell like you might be cute.
JP, 22, Fredericton, New Brunswick.
Nah, boy, I'm good. I'm ready for this. Roll the tape. Roll it. Are you rolling? What do you think of my mustache? It's pretty slick, eh? Security guard mustache. Not hipster. Legit. Sometimes when I'm drinking coffee, it absorbs some of the coffee when I drink it, and I have to suck the coffee out of it afterwards. Stacy told you about Ian, eh? The security guard who went missing? My boss thinks he just quit. Except I know Ian. So it's kind of strange to me. Got spooky in that place that night. Started carrying around a baton with me. Even though if I saw anything, I'd probably just take off running. Like an actual criminal or anything. I mean, they're just paying me minimum wage. If a thief has a knife on him, not worth it. I don't even care about the paintings in that place. But Ian liked security. It was his thing. He's one of those types. He had an awesome mustache. Handlebars. To make him look more like a cop. Big and bushy, and he even had those mustache fangs, eh? So, what happened? But I guess that's not the big news. There's something else I want to tell you. Since you're in town, out of the blue and everything. The big news is that I'm in a relationship. With a girl, and she's amazing. She's like the best. I met her at a bar one block over from here. Her name is Issa, and she is the most amazing woman I have ever met in my life, and she is mine, and I'm in this great place with her right now, and we are getting married in May of next year. She even likes my mustache. It's like there's pumpkin in this coffee or something. Yes, it's pumpkin. Pumpkin coffee. Do you get the same coffee as me? I asked for a dark roast. I have been noticing more of the details of life since I've met Issa. Such a beautiful day. That air. You can feel it in the air. It's starting to turn. It's not too hot anymore. You can feel that chill underneath it. That fall air. Fall air has this bite to it that you bite. You can feel it coming on now. Time to retire the flip-flops, yes? Time to wear real shoes again. Time to dust off the sweaters, bring the wool back out into circulation. I like it when it gets colder. Fredericton in the summer, it's too hot. In the fall is better. Better to be in St. John in the summer, to get the breeze from the coast, Bay of Fundy. But Fredericton's too hot in the summer. That's why I'm so happy for the fall. I like the cold better than the heat. You can always warm yourself up. It's harder to cool yourself off than it is to warm yourself up. I still love looking at the ladies. I'm about to get married, but the women... I can't stop looking at the women, right? I mean, look at that. Look at her. Who is she, do you think? I don't know. You won't be here for the wedding if you're in Toronto. You'll be missing out. We're gonna have it at our father's farm. Open bar. You'd like it. Lots of her friends, lots of my friends. Lots of ladies. Jane's coming down for it, from Montreal. You gonna visit her on your way through Quebec? It's been a while since the three of us hung out. Fucking Lawrencetown, man, surfing? She taught us all how to surf. Remember that time she saved your life? She keeps checking in on me. She called the other day, to confirm she's coming to the wedding. Jane's cool, right? You always thought she was cool, right? You should email her. If you can't make the wedding, we need to stay in touch. Too many of my friends, they just seem to run off, disappear, like Connor in Saskatchewan. But we need to stay connected to one another. We're social animals. It's not good for us to remain distant. It's not our true nature. Our nature is like an orchestra. We need to reverberate against each other. We need to party, to have fun. We need proximity. We need to smell each other's teeth, feel each other's heat. Nothing brings you back into contact with life more than realizing you are near someone and that that person is hot. You get me? If you were European, you would get me. The Brunswickers are so cold, so distant and conservative. After I marry Issa, we're going to Honduras for our honeymoon. And we will drink tequila and champagne from coconuts and go drunk snorkeling. My father, he traveled the world when he was young. He went to Australia, to the Great Barrier Reef. And when he was there, he rode a whale shark. He grabbed onto its fin and away he went. But my adventures shall exceed his. I love it here. Fall is fantastic. I have not worn this sweater for 6 months. What do you think of her, over in the corner? The one with the jean jacket and the glasses? I could introduce you to her. I know her from university. She is friendly. Do you know, when we speak, I feel like now as we talk, as I talk to you, I'll never see you again after today. Do you feel that? Do you? I feel desperate talking to you, like I'm losing you. Society is an ecosystem, you know? You gotta preserve it. I want you to come back for the wedding. I want you and Jane to come back for the wedding. May of next year. Connor too, if I can ever manage to reach him. Saskatchewan's a big place. You could just stay here. You could crash on my couch for a couple of weeks until you found a job, an apartment. Stacy wouldn't mind. Stay here and hang out in F-Town with me and help me plan the wedding. You could be my best man. But you have to grow a mustache so that we match in the photos. Not to pressure you or anything. Where are you going, Lowell? I mean, really. Do you know? Turn off the recorder and tell me the truth.
Lily, 56, Meductic, New Brunswick.
The closest town to here is Woodstock. That's a 10-minute drive north. So you only had enough money to get you here, eh? You're gonna need money to get to Tofino, of all places. I know a few people in Jacksonville. It's harvest season, so they might be able to use an extra hand. Not sure if they can set you up with enough money to get to Tofino or not. Well, it depends on how much you work for them, I guess. Maybe Wade could help you. Wade McLeod, he's got a potato farm. He might need some help. Only place here in Meductic is the Cymbal Factory, and they aren't hiring right now. It's a good place to work, but I don't think they need anyone at the moment. Wade might need someone, though. You ever worked on a farm before? Everything up here. It's not what you know, but who you know. I mean, it's a bit what you know, but more than anything, it's who you know. You know? And I'm related, I guess you could say, to Wade. We're third cousins. Don't ask me what that means. My mother explained it to me years ago when she was still alive. It's enough, though, to ask him if he's got work. So yes, I'll do that. What are you going to Tofino for? I see Rick Mercer on the television interviewing people from all walks of life across Canada. Is this what this is? Kinda? I just get worried, you see, being recorded. It's like you're taking what I say and... Well, I guess if you write a book on it, I don't get to edit myself if you record me. And I don't know where all this is going is all. Because really, we're a pretty quiet place. Overall. There was a man in here 2 days ago, sort of out of sorts, raving about weird stuff. Stuff you can't repeat. If I tell you, you can't repeat it, okay? Even if you're recording me. Okay? Please don't. Guy said he saw a UFO. Honest to God. Came right in here, late at night. We were almost closed. Started raving about it. Some kind of UFO he saw. Drove up, gassed up his car, came inside here, and just was ranting for like 5 whole minutes about this UFO he saw. Then he bought some pepperoni sticks and a couple of fun dips, and then he left. Maybe keep this off the record. I don't need people saying I'm spreading any kind of hysteria or nothing. UFOs are fake anyway. Guy was probably some kind of psycho. Usually I can tell if people are crazy or not. I can get a feel for people just by meeting them. For instance, I wouldn't be offering to give Wade McLeod a call if you struck me as such. Crazy, or whatever. You seem all right. You need a shower, though. Maybe a haircut. Wade won't care about that, though. How's your back? You gotta bend over a lot with that work, because potatoes grow in the ground, eh? You gotta bend over to get them. I used to help pick potatoes, but my lower vertebrae are all pretty much fused together now. I'm no use to farmers anymore. You'll be all right. I got your cell phone. Maybe he'll call you. If I end up sounding weird on the playback, then you erase it, you hear? So you gonna walk to Woodstock, or are you gonna keep hitchhiking? Hitchhiking's illegal here, but the RCMP won't give a damn. They don't do anything to you or anything. I mean, what could they do? Drive you to the outskirts? We're already on the outskirts. The whole of Meductic is the outskirts. Welcome to the River Valley, city kid.
Nathan, 34, Woodstock, New Brunswick.
You know how it gets here at night. Well, I mean, you don't. You don't know. You're new here. But the rest of us... I mean, me. I know how it gets here at night. The rest of us here on the River Road know how it gets here at night. But you're still new, so I'll walk you through it. This whole river valley serves as a flight path for UFOs. Let me be the one to tell you that. They use it as a flight path. Like the geography, the valley. It's easy to navigate or something. It's a valley, see? So the traffic, the UFOs, right through the valley. You get it? It's all about the geography. Weird lights are nothing new to us. Not to the people who live here. First off, we live outside the city, so there's no light pollution down here on the River Road. You look up at the night sky, you see it for what it is. It's full glory. You see the Milky Way. You see every single star that can be seen to the naked eye. It's that dark here. No light pollution. That's key. So we see everything. And weird lights. Well, I mean, what are we talking here? Satellites? Space stations? UFOs? This is your front row seat. This is your VIP ticket. Right here. Here. My house. My porch. Right on the water. Right on the bank of the good old St. John River. Prettiest river in the world. By day. By night. The craziest light show you ever did see. You just gotta watch it. But it'll all happen for you, right in front of your eyes. So it doesn't surprise me that that lady in Meductic talking about the guy who saw UFOs, that doesn't surprise me one bit. They use this valley as a flight path because of the geography. But you never see anything but lights. That's what's weird to me. What? There's just these aliens or whatnot just hovering around and looking at people? Here's the question I pose to you. Okay, so you're a shopper. You're in a mall and you're a shopper. And you're looking at things, right? You're just looking. Just shopping around. Just looking. But let me ask you this. How many times have you gone shopping with the intention of just looking? How many times, no matter what your intentions are, how many times have you touched? Am I right? We touch shit all the time when you're just looking. It's a natural thing. It just happens, right? So, we find ourselves on this flight path, right? Us, humans, UFOs, and whatnot, zipping by us every night in the darkness. Just looking, right? Just looking. No touching. How bullshit is that? They're touching something. They're touching someone. Am I right? I was scared of ghosts when I was a kid. Now, I'm scared of aliens. And I mean, I'm terrified of aliens. I read that Whitley Strieber book, Communion, and that did it for me. That sealed the deal. That's the only thing I'm scared of anymore. Besides my ex-wife. And her son. That kid is not right in the head. What he did to that girl at school was not how children should behave. You know when you smoke a joint, but you leave the front door unlocked when you smoke the joint? You know that feeling? 2 years ago, I went to the Dooryards Arts Festival in the middle of town. And I was drinking and listening to the bands and having a good time. And when the night ended, I got my buddy to drop me off here at my home, here on the River Road. And after he drove off, I mean, I was gonna go inside the house to have a nightcap and go to sleep. But the sky was so clear that night. The sky was so clear. The moon was so full and so bright. It was very light out. Even though it was night, you could see everything. So I sat down beside my house on the lawn, and I just kind of stared at the river in the night. Everything was so pretty and peaceful. There was no wind, and everything was calm, and the moon was lovely. And all of a sudden, there was this crazy shrieking that started up down near the riverbank. And I didn't know what it was. I assumed it was some animal, but I hightailed it into the house because I didn't know. I didn't know what it was. That was after midnight. I was by myself. I'm not a brave man, either. I'm more of, well, what you would call a reader. I like reading about things the next day in the paper. I don't necessarily like to make contact with things. I keep a safe distance. But there's all sorts of weird stuff like that happening on the river. Every night. The river is home to weird stuff. The geography makes it a flight path. The geography does. You want another beer? I've got more than enough. You want to smoke a joint?
Emma, 47, Waterville, New Brunswick.
Nobody has really asked to talk to me about this, which seems really odd to me. I mean, the RCMP spoke with me, Corporal, and that little girl working for them now, the ride-along. I spoke to both of them about how he went missing. And they took notes while I was speaking, so I know they got the story. But I haven't heard much about it other than that. Even the other nurses at the hospital aren't talking about it that much, and... well, that's just so odd, you know? I mean, we are busy and everything, but... a man disappeared. A patient. It's because, I think, that he was a gomer. You know what a gomer is? A gomer is a... Well, they're what the doctors call patients that are just taking up space. They're not going to get cured. They're basically, well, vegetables. Which is even more odd. Because this guy, Lyle, Lyle Farrell, and he's actually related to our neighbor through his mother's side. Lyle Farrell? Lyle wasn't able to move himself around, if you know what I mean. He needed help getting around. If he needed to use the bathroom, things like that. He had cancer, and he was terminal. He couldn't move, I guess, is my point. Not without help. And so I took him for supper that night. Turkey and peas. He likes peas. And I fed him, and he seemed to be in good spirits. He didn't speak or anything like that, but I think at one point I was telling him a joke, and I think he almost chuckled at the joke. And he ate most of his food. He ate all of his peas because he just loves peas. I cleaned him up, and I took his tray out of the room with me, and nothing struck me as odd then. But when I came back, 2 hours later, he wasn't there anymore. Lyle. Lyle was gone. His bed was still warm, but Lyle was gone. And he couldn't have gotten far on his own. He could barely move. You needed to help him just to get him on his feet. There's just no way he could have walked out of that room fast enough that no one would have noticed. Someone would have seen him. It would have taken him half an hour just for him to get to the stairwell. I mean, he couldn't move on his own. Someone must have taken him. I told the RCMP that, but they haven't called me since. I don't know what they're doing to follow up on it, and no one at work is talking about it either. I brought it up the other night to the supervisor. I brought it up casually, just in passing. She changed the subject on me. She wasn't interested in talking about it, or she didn't want to talk about it, obviously. I don't know if it's because it's an embarrassing situation for the hospital or what. But we lost a patient. I was the last person to see him alive. And I've had maybe 3 people talk to me about it since. That's odd, isn't it? They took him right out from under our noses. There's no way into that ward without passing the reception desk. Anyone going in to get him would have had to pass the desk twice. And they would have had to be carrying him because Lyle wasn't able to move very fast himself. And we're on the 4th floor, so it's not like he got out through the window. To have people not react to something like this, it's sad, isn't it? These old people are just withering away and no one cares. Like people just can't wait to be rid of them. It's sad. It really is sad. People don't just disappear, even if they're terminal. Even if they're gomers, they don't just disappear. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I told the RCMP, I gave my report. I gave my report, and nothing happened. And Lyle's gone. Almost like he was never, ever here in the first place. I live alone. I'm a 5-minute drive away from here, on Rosedale Road, running through the woods. What would happen if I went missing? What would happen if someone took me away? It's been too quiet around here. Someone's playing games. Yeah, that's what I think. Someone's playing games.
Fortune of Wolves was written by Ryan Griffith. The series was produced by Big Noise Audio Collective and presented by Theatre New Brunswick. The show was directed by Ryan Griffith with help from Gillian Hansen. Recording, editing, and sound design by Matt Carter. Music for the series was created by Counting On Downstairs with additional scoring by Matt Carter. To learn more about the series and the artists involved, visit tnb.nb.ca or look for the Big Noise Audio Collective on Facebook. This episode featured Kat Hall as the Chief Archivist, Jason McIntyre as Lowell, Ian Goff as Samuel, Amanda Thorne as Stacy, Jean-Michel Cliche as JP, Natasha McClellan as Lily, Robbie Lynn as Nathan, and Alexa Higgins as Emma. Next time on Fortune of Wolves.
I'm coming straight from Toronto, so yeah, a little sleep would have been okay.
A bunch of white people not making a big deal out of a bunch of missing Indigenous people. That part of the whole thing don't surprise me.
You will see some of the prettiest sunrises you've ever seen in your entire life.
You don't know how to drive a tractor, and that's a pain in the ass.
I keep my nose clean, and I don't snoop. I don't gossip. Good Canadian. Evermore.
And the RCMP and the government doesn't know anything? No, thank you. No, thank you.